Yes, so we have coming up for birthdays. Elena will be May 18th, and Bill and Mary Benoit's anniversary will be the 21st. And a belated birthday to Brad Swim and to Emma Renee King. All right, we will have our Zoom Connect meeting on Wednesday. If anyone wants to join us for that, let me know. And we'll keep on going as we're going. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We are grateful to you for blessing us with life, for blessing us with you. So we come to you now. We lift up your name. We praise your name today. Blessed be your name. Glory to you, O Father. We thank you. We are grateful for how you care for us, Lord. We are thankful for all that you do for us. And we remember and acknowledge that in you, even right now, Lord. Lord, as we live in this time now of social distancing and stay at home and a worldwide pandemic of sorts, Lord, we are concerned. We pray, God, for your healing hand on our people and our lands across the world. I pray, Lord, that this virus would be contained and you'd give doctors and researchers wisdom in all these things. Give our leaders, the politicians, wisdom as they seek to best control things and do things for the economy and for people. And help us all to remember and to be wise in these things. We ask for your healing touch in these times. Lord, I pray that you would help your church here and around the world as we maybe worship in different ways. God, help us to connect with you and with others and to view these unique times as unique opportunities for your glory and for your kingdom. We pray for those among us who are sick or hurting right now. Pray for your healing hand on them too. Again, we are grateful, Lord. You are good to us. Help us as we look to your word. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we've been looking at the book of Acts, now just for you who like to know what's going on, Acts is a long book. So we've got a long ways to go. My intention is to cut off at some point here in a few weeks in Acts and begin to look at the book of Galatians. And as I look at that book, which will carry us through the summer into fall, we'll see how timing goes. But my intention is to do that, which could be 15, 17, 18 weeks maybe. By then we may be up to Advent. And then we'll go into that season and then pick up Acts again when we can. But with that being said, thus far I hope you who are here, you who are listening right now, that you are getting the sense of why this book of Acts is so important to the Christian life and to the church. Of our seeing the power of God being manifested, working through his people to spread this good news, this gospel, and to just put it out to everyone. And how this good news that we know is true as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate Good Friday, and even Christmas, this great thing that Jesus did. He died and rose again. And the meaning of that and the importance of it to people in their lives today. The heartbeat of God to reach people with this good news of believe and there's eternal life. It's important. As I was thinking about these things, for those of you who are listening and for you here, you realize that this last week has been a hard one for our family. We lost our dog a week ago. And in thinking about that, I thought of a couple of different things. One thing is, think about the gospel and the preaching of it and the importance of it. How, as a pastor, as a preacher, one of the great privileges and opportunities that I get to have are things like weddings, where people are come together and you have this beautiful picture of God and what he wants for people. And you get to preach the gospel into that. And people come together. It's wonderful. And we also have the privileges of baptisms, dedications of children to the Lord. And just again, the gospel living through parents and people and these things. And then we have the great privilege of funerals. The funeral, I think, is probably one of the greatest opportunities to show the gospel. Because no matter what a person is doing in their lives, no matter where their relationship is with God, if it's strong, if it's weak, a funeral and the stark reality of death turns a person's mind in those kind of directions. And good questions come out of that. And the gospel addresses those questions. So today, I hope you will indulge me a moment, a little bit here, as we consider a funeral for a dog. Yes. Now, I want to make it very clear here, and for those who are listening, or for you here too, that I am in no way making any kind of moral equivalence between a dog and a person. Okay, there is none. I understand that. All right? But as I've gone through this past week in grieving, very real grief for my beloved pet, the issues of that grief and the realities that you start to think about are real for people today. And the gospel speaks to those things. And that is my intention today. My title for this sermon, in the focus of my thinking, is this: for my children, the gospel according to King, a really good dog. Now, you know me. The odds of me getting through a normal sermon and not have tears in my eyes are very, very slim. So, again, I ask for your indulgence today. So first, in order, would be this. King Frecklebear King, born June 2014, died May 3rd, 2020. Survived by his family, his four siblings, Emma, James, Jonathan, and Josiah, his mom, Sherry, and me. He came into our life almost 6 years ago with the result of persistent pestering and faithful prayers of Emma. I never really wanted a dog, but I thought, you know, it seems like a good thing for families and teaching responsibility and those sorts of things. And so we picked up a little puppy in August of 2014. Took him on a camping trip and just carried him around for 3 days as we hiked. And the odd thing that happened was, for whatever reason, he became part of our family. But more than that, became really deeply part of me. He loved his family. As much as we can apply anthropomorphize those sorts of things for a dog, but he did, didn't he? He loved us. He wanted to be with us. We go on a hike, and he hated it when we were spread apart. That's the hurting in him, probably, but he wanted us to be together, and we're together, he's much more calm and happy. That's all he wanted. He excluded everyone else, really, as long as he could be with us. He was a good dog. He was a very good dog. So I have four thoughts for you as I've gone through this week. Four considerations that I think are important when we face something like this. The first thing that I pondered and I want you to think about is this: how King died. You think 1 week ago we had no idea at all what that day would hold for us. His death was sudden, shocking. One moment he was here, one moment literally, and the next he's gone. Like that. And that's what I want you to think about and remember, that life and death are right next to each other. And it can be gone in a second. The Bible talks about this a lot. In Psalm 39:4, it says, "O Lord, let me know the end, my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am." James chapter 4, James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town, we will spend a year there and trade and make money, and yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Oh, how quickly and easily this life can be extinguished. And so even the death of a pet or a person, it forces it. It rams us into this realization. It's so easy to just wander through life and never consider it. When you're young especially, all your life is before you. And it's wonderful. And it's a breath. If I live to be 100, my life was a mist. And it passes. And that is a reality we want to keep in our minds. Always. I spoke to you this last week about regrets. And the suddenness, I mean, really brings that to the forefront. To live in a way that we can minimize regrets. And the way to do that is to remember what's important and keep that in mind. We don't like to think about it. And so, you know, people think about dying or how sudden it can be. They keep busy. They just ignore it. Sometimes our lives can feel so long. When you're waiting for something, it just feels like forever. When I was a kid, if you wanted to get something in the mail, I remember like in comic books, in the back of comic books, you could order stuff. You know, for $2.99, you can get the X-ray glasses. Or if you saved up box tops, the cereal, you can mail them in and get a prize. What they don't always tell you is it would take like 2 months. So I put this up in the mail, and then you wait. And that 2 months seemed like forever. But I can tell you, the older we get, here I am at 54, and it's like I'm cresting a hill, and it's accelerating. It goes so quickly. As we think of how King died, I want you to think about that. Because death then forces us to consider this, be it a pet or a friend or a neighbor, a father, a mother, a brother, sister, whoever it is. It points us towards thinking about eternal things. And why is this important? Because it thinks about what you're doing now. It thinks about, makes you think about what is important. At the end of the day, it's people, it's relationships, and it's God. It moves us to ask questions. Is there more? Am I doing what was right? Is there something more? Heaven, hell, all these things. Even the people who have no relationship with God, the presence and suddenness of death forces us into these things. And the gospel speaks into those things. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. The second question that I pondered a lot this week is, why did King die? Why? Is there purpose? Even people who ignore God when someone dies in the grief of they wonder why. It's an odd question if you really think about it sometimes. Why ask why? I think it's a very good reason why we ask why. Now, there's two ways you can look at this. Two aspects of this question, I think. One is regarding God. Okay? We ask the question, why? Why did King die? Why did my father die? Why did my mother die? Why does a little baby die? Why does a young man die? A young woman die? We ask these questions. We are wondering about God, who God is, what sort of God is he? It makes us, turns us all into theologians. Is God good? If he is, then why is my dog dead today? Does God control everything in minute detail and all these things? Then why didn't he stop it? He could have, couldn't he? If that's who he is, if that's how he is, couldn't he have turned that car aside a little bit, delayed him a little bit up the road? Couldn't he have stopped that rabbit or cat or whatever it was that he was chasing and moved him somewhere else? Couldn't he have? If he could, why wouldn't he? Why? Is there a greater purpose to these things? Is there a reason? Greater? What could that possibly be? Or does God just mean, petty, in grief? Has us ask those questions, and that's okay. They're good questions. As I thought about it, God's Word tells us a lot about these sorts of things, and frankly, most of them are difficult, especially when you're hurting. But one thing I would pass on to you, and as I've learned over and over in my life, of who God is good. He is. He loves us. The Bible clearly tells us that. We've clearly experienced that, and we can trust him. In the suffering, in the pain, most of the time it doesn't make sense. There's no sense to it. But as we sang, blessed be the name, blessed be your name. I'm in the desert, or I'm in the fertile country, wherever it is, we can trust him. And that is why it's important. That's why we ask why. Now the other aspect of that question, why did King die, regards us as people. Because even as we think about how King died, how quick it was, wondering all about it, is the realization that I'm going to die. You are going to die. Everybody dies. And so then you get a deeper thought here about death and why. Why death? What's going on? It's kind of a funny question, really, you know. Why would we even ask that? Now, there are folks out there of a purely humanistic, you know, mechanistic mindset, and they just say, that's how it is. There's this big machine. You're born, you live, you die, and then it just keeps on going. That's it. But we ask this question. Why? It hints of a spark, a thought, that there's more, that we're made somehow for more, that there's some meaning, that there's something out there, and even the harshest, staunchest atheists at times can ponder and think about this idea of death. Why death? Why? And this question, we ask it. And you know where I go for most things in the Bible, right? Romans chapter 8. Here's one of the things it tells us, starting in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. The hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Why? That's the groaning. And it's not just people. All of creation. That is why a pet can touch our lives. That's why, I mean, I've been sad over a great tree that's fallen. You know, I mean, maybe not the same way even as a pet or a person, but there's something there that you just, a wrongness, a bentness, and that's what it is. The creation groans. Why is it groaning? Because it's not right. It's broken. Death is not right. It wasn't supposed to be that way. And we want some hope. We want something there to get us through. And we have it. That is the gospel. That is the good news. This groaning that we experience is not the groanings of death for those who believe. It's the groanings of childbirth. There is more. There is better. There is a made rightness that's out there. And so when we ask why, we can turn to these kinds of rock-solid anchors in our lives. When we feel like we're drifting, and I've been drifting this week, we can hang on. We can hang on. Most of the time, the answer to that is, I don't know. But the gospel speaks hope to us in that question. Now, a third one, it's not really a question, but it's a thought. It's very similar to others, but bear with me. And that is this. Just the idea, the fact that King died. That he died. And this again speaks, again, as I've mentioned already, but the reality of death and that hope of eternal life. Because in that question, we get to the heart of this issue, the reality of life and the reality of death. It brings us very back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. The fall. There was life. Perfection. The perfection not only in creation itself, but in that relationship with people and God. And it was broken. That is what we're experiencing now. It's broken. It's not right. The fact that anybody dies points us to that harsh fact. And it's not just about it. It's about life. How precious life is. How great life is. King showed us that. He was alive. I thought about him so much this week and just think about life that he showed, the joy he showed, the grace he showed to us. He was full of life, and death just seems so wrong in that. But the truth is that there is death. And the reason for that is because of this brokenness with God. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, death is not the end. Eternal life can begin now, and it does with him. You can know you have eternal life today, now. Gospel of John, Jesus says over and over, believe. I've come that you may believe. And we're faced with sorrow, the stabbing ache of grief. The question is, what do you believe? Really, what do you believe? not the belief of just growing up with your mom and I, the things we did and went to church every Sunday. What do you believe, really? That is the question that comes up now. It hurts, but it pushes us. It forces us to think about these things. I hope you do. I hope you will. The fourth consideration I want to ponder here for a moment, and I am, disclaimer, if you're listening to this, here's the question. Do dogs go to heaven? Now, someone may think that's a silly question. I do not. It's a very real question. I've wondered this week a lot. I'm 54. Your mom reminded me this week of a friend, pastor friend of ours, was asked that question from a bunch of children. And he gave just a wonderful, theologically sound, very concise answer that I think covers it. I don't know. God's word does not speak to these things. This is not about dogs going to heaven. It's about you and me and people. It's about God's redemptive story. I don't know. We can wonder, you know, and again, a rational person comes in and say, well, it's silly or, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, what, all the cows going to be resurrected? Where are they all going to go when the new heaven and earth are here? I don't know. It doesn't speak to it here, okay? And that's all right. But we know this. One, that the Bible does speak to this question regarding you and me and people, okay? That is a real question. Do people go to heaven? Yes, they do. Do people not go to heaven? Yes, they do. That is the question that the Bible speaks to. Loud and clear, from page 1 to the very end. That is the question that it speaks to, and that is the question we must ponder and think about and take seriously in our life. And it's so easy just to let that question go by the wayside. To get caught up in school and friends and work and food and things and stuff, and you get so caught up in it, and it's why times like right now, as we mourn our dog, to think about that. Because when that day comes for you, for me, that question will be answered one way or another, and we need to consider it. That is why the gospel is so important. That is the heartbeat of God. That is what we're seeing in the book of Acts as it went from Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and beyond. That's the power of God when he got a hold of Saul and said, you're mine. That's the power of God when he called his disciples and they were in despair and he rose again from the dead to show them that death is not the victor. That is the power of God. When he spoke 30 plus years ago, nearly 40 years ago, and said, Steve King, I am here and I love you. Come to me. And I said, yes, I will. And I gave my life to him. It is a great question. And one that we should not delay ever. Now, with that being said, considering dogs and pets, I think this. Okay? If you're listening to this, okay, we're not building theology here at all. Okay? The Bible does not speak to this. But I wonder this, the possibility of a maybe. And it's okay. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Is I have walked with God for over 30 years. I've gotten to know him more and more and more. And I've seen the ups and downs of my life, and there have been many. I know God is good. I know God loves beyond anything we can imagine. To think about the love of God in sending his son, that's what love is. He gave his son to die so that we could be with him. That is great love. As I think about you, how much I love you, I would do anything for each of you. I would die for you. I love you so much. God loves you more. I it's hard to imagine. So as I think about that, if when I die, and the day comes, when God sounds that final trumpet, when he raises us up, and there's a new heaven, and the tears are wiped away, and if in that moment I looked over, and I saw King running toward me, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. Okay? We're not. I don't want you to go through life basing your life on the hope of seeing King. Okay? But I wouldn't be surprised because God is that good and loving. Maybe it doesn't work that way. I don't know. But I do know that when I'm with God in that day, it's going to be great. Which brings me to one last little thing for you. What we've gone through this week, You know, when you're trying to comfort somebody, saying things like, it's going to get better, all things work together for good, you'll be fine, ring hollow. As true as they may be, okay, the best thing you can do for somebody when they're grieving is to just be there, okay? But because of this, I think you have the opportunity for a great understanding. A depth of understanding is something that you would never, ever have any other time. And that's this. One of my favorite verses from Romans 8, verse 18 is this. Paul says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now, what I want you to understand in that verse, and what I think you understand more, can understand more right now, is one, this verse does not diminish suffering. Okay, the intention of this verse, what Paul was talking, he was not trying to make suffering less. He's not trying to make it so it's less important or that it feels less, that it's, you know, that we don't feel as much. That's not the point. Okay? Do you see what the point is? The point is that whatever the suffering is, God's glory will be greater. And so what you can understand maybe a little bit better now is how great that's going to be. Because I tell you what, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, I hurt. I hurt so badly. You saw me. And that was real. And to imagine that the glory of God, that I'm face to face with Him, that what I experienced Sunday as I lay right out here with my dog, won't even compare. How glorious is that going to be? That is amazing. It's hard to imagine. And yet, we can. And again, the pain is real. It doesn't take it away. It's just that it gives us that hope. So my children, my family, we had a great loss this week. Yeah, we did. But as we consider that, as we consider the impact that King had on our lives, I beg you to think about these things. To realize for yourself the gospel that Jesus was born, He lived, He died, He rose again. And the implication of that is eternal and wonderful. And if you believe and focus your life upon that, that's what's important. And that's what I would pass on to you today. The gospel is good news. And King showed us that a little bit. We'll miss him. He's a good dog. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I come to you grateful. Lord, I thank you for the life of our dog King. As sorrowful as it is to have it been so short, we are grateful for what we had. And more so, Lord, I thank you that you give us life. That you give us life today, and that in your Son, Jesus, we have eternal life and will someday be with you. And so, Lord, we have hope. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.